I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Good to see you, Ken. And how's your week been?
Yes, it's been good, thank you.
So, what would you like to cover in today's podcast?
Well, last week you talked about some of the economic issues and how they affect commercial property. So this week I thought it might be worthwhile exploring the economic backdrop a little further to see where that leads. Would you like to start by giving us a quick recap on how you see things?
Okay. The Australian economy has been delivering sub-trend economic growth, but we're expecting 2014 to represent the low point. The consumer and housing sectors really are the key to the recovery because they're the ones offsetting the drag from mining investment. However, in 2015, you would expect that these components will be driving up GDP, probably towards a healthy growth trend and building on a stronger export growth.
So, moving into 2015, you believe economic growth will start returning to a reasonable level?
Well, as I mentioned, economic growth was below trend during 2013, with the economy now on pace to record a 2%, maybe 2.5% growth for the full year in 2014, and that's compared with a long-term average of about 3.25%. Now, this has reflected a weaker contribution to growth from consumer spending and business investment, and that really is following the aftermath of the 10-year boom related to the mining sector engineering investment. This was principally plant and equipment. Now, the income growth has also softened as the terms of trade have weakened somewhat from its peak in 2011, albeit that it's stabilised through the most of this year. Now, while the early part of 2014 has felt somewhat flat, the prospects for growth are actually looking more favourable. I mean, retail sales, dwelling starts, asset prices, and confidence, albeit slightly, have improved over the last 4 to 6 months. And this appears to be a lagged response to lower interest rates as the RBA have cut the cash rate to now be at 2.5%, which it's held for quite some time. Now, you can expect that in 2015, you'll see a recovery in discretionary elements of consumer spending, and this should support a broader recovery together with a stronger boost from net exports as the dollar starts to, or the fall of the dollar starts to have some sort of impact. By the end of 2014, you should see the economy growing at around 2.75%, and then hopefully it should improve to around the trend rate of 3.25% as we progress through 2015. From a policy perspective, Australia does appear to be a little out of sync with the rest of the world, partly because Australia didn't follow global markets to the extremely easy policy settings that have been evident in US and Europe, where they've used the effectively zero interest rates and pushing a lot of money into the economy. However, the world economy is a relative game, and so as US growth gradually improves and US interest rates, even though they threaten to rise, the demand for Australian dollar assets is expected to slow from the strong levels seen over the past 5 years. And the Australian dollar, not unexpectedly, is already reacted to this, falling to just below 90 cents in US terms. Now, this fall in the Australian dollar will have a stimulatory effect on our domestic sectors, which have been impacted by its strength. In other words, sectors like tourism, manufacturing, better exporting, and to some extent, domestic retailing. Now, although the mining boom from an investment point of view has virtually ground to a halt, now it's in production phase. The falling dollar will certainly help price our goods cheaper from an overseas point of view. So even though the price of iron ore is falling, the fact that our dollar is also falling will mean that the value to the exporters will improve.
You mentioned several growth components. Do you have something by way of a chart for our listeners?
Yes, certainly. Look, I came across a rather helpful chart the other day, which I will arrange to make available at the bottom of this podcast. So if people would like to come to propertybriefings.com, if you're listening to it on your iPad or iPhone, log in with your credentials and come to this episode 69, and you'll find that chart beneath this podcast.
How do you feel this will affect commercial property around Australia? And let's perhaps start with the office sector.
Well, the office rent cycle is expected to remain under pressure for an extended period, particularly in Brisbane and Perth, ahead of the peak or the vacancies peaking in 2015, 2016. In most markets. Now, while there will be and continue to be some demand drags from resources-related office employment and government demand, it's unlikely to replicate the last decade in which the government contributed almost, I think, a third of the overall demand growth. And we're expecting the broader service sector to improve the demand overall. Now, supply and vacancies should reach their peak in 2015-16, which will probably keep a lid on rent growth in most capital cities. Probably Sydney and Melbourne will experience some rent growth because their vacancies are under 10%. But for those that are over 10%, like 14 and 16, in Perth and Brisbane, well, you're going to see slow rent growth occurring there in those sectors. So for the first time in a long time, the capital city office markets are actually out of sync. For most of the last century, they followed a pretty common, pretty consistent 18-year cycle from peak to peak. But at the moment, Sydney and Melbourne are way ahead of Perth, Brisbane, Adelaide and Canberra as far as they've started in the upswing. Incentives for tenants are tightening and you're going to start to see some rent growth in Sydney and Melbourne. But the other capital cities, it's going to be a little tight for a little longer.
And what about retail property?
Well, the retail sector has probably been the hardest hit because as things tighten, people spend less and therefore the turnovers are effective. And you've seen that almost with the almost continual sale signs on the shops. I mean, it's no longer seasonal like Christmas and New Year and what have you. It's almost throughout the whole year. That said, the outlook for the retail sector is expected to improve as spending levels rise in response to the lower interest rates and the improved economic growth. I think when interest rates started to fall, people started to save more and that has been a good sign. But now they realise interest rates are probably likely to stay low for a little longer, they're probably now likely to start using some of that saving to spend again as far as consumers. Now, while we're not expecting a boom, a modest increase in credit appetite from households, in other words, growth of borrowing in line with income rather than below, and that should support the sector, the retail sector, moving forward. Now, retail sales are expected to increase back to a range of 3-4% over the next year, and that's probably below the GFC level of 6-8% increase, but it's relatively strong, and it's stronger than recent experience. In the retail sector, we are already seeing signs of yield compression in the more cyclical sectors. And I'm talking about property now, not sellers, not consumer spending. And in the December quarter, yields were lower across all grades of retail, including bulky goods. In other words, that's the sort of large format retail. The stronger competition of the housing sector is driving stronger expectations for growth in discretionary spending, which has been notably flat in the last 3-4 years. Indeed, the rent growth for prime strips and bulky goods has averaged much lower than shopping centres since 2008. And these sectors have more turnaround potential ahead, particularly the bulky goods.
And how do you expect the industrial sector to fare?
Well, industrial rent growth has softened to a flat overall performance in 2013, but it's not all doom and gloom. The rents seem to have stabilised during 2014 and should recover in 2015. This is expected to support a broader yield reduction during next year as the rent growth recovery becomes a little more entrenched. Now, while the demise of the local car manufacturing has certainly grabbed the headlines following the closure of Mitsubishi in 2008, Holden and Ford's decision to closed domestic manufacturing from 2016-2017. The positive kick to the broader manufacturing sector from a lower Australian dollar and also an emerging recovery in the housing sector plus consumer-led growth, all of those are expected to provide some offset in activity as far as industrial property is concerned. And also, if the retail picks up, I think we've discussed this in earlier podcasts, that yes, interest rates affect residential, obviously, mortgage rates, but therefore lack of spending retail. And because Australia has predominantly an industrial sector covering logistics and storage and warehousing, the industrial sector will follow the retail sector by about 6 months in how it moves. So there could be a lag, but as retail spending picks up, there'll be required more inventory and the ability to store it and have it ready for sale in the shops. This will also help to improve the industrial sector during 2015.
So, from an investor's perspective, what does all of this mean?
Well, international demand for Australian property has been strong. I mean, the annual foreign acquisition of $4.8 billion topped the previous peak, which was in 2011. The attractiveness of Australian market to foreign investors is demonstrated by the continued expansion by the sector. It's increasing by about $15 billion since 2007. By the end of 2014, the relative attractiveness of the Australian market from a foreign investor's perspective, may gradually unwind as the rest of the world, particularly the US economy, begins to improve and the high relative interest rate yield differential story, which has supported Australian assets, starts to wane a bit. Now, obviously, as the dollar falls, that means they can buy more in Australia, and that's almost like a price reduction. So even if the price doesn't fall for Australian property, as our dollar falls, it makes our property more attractive. And so that doesn't necessarily mean demand will fall off as the rest of the world improves, because there are the offsets as we move into 2015, and that's the expectation the Australian economy will be on a firmer growth footing domestically. And so particularly Asian money, which is looking for safe havens, these are the sort of things that they start looking for. So with an improved economy and a falling dollar, that could still make Australia pretty attractive as far as overseas investors are concerned, notwithstanding that there is improvements elsewhere in the world. Now, I realise there's the verdict's out, or the jury's out on where the rest of the world is, but fundamentally, it seems the underlying strengths of most of the economies are there. They just seem to be moving sideways at the moment as people just digest so many global turmoil issues, you know, terrorists, Ebola and things like that. It's very confusing. When people are confused, they tend to do nothing. And so we just need to probably get through the end of the year, and then I think you'll start to see things start to settle down and begin to improve. But perhaps just a few general observations as far as Australia is concerned. I mean, over the past decade, we've sort of been showered with riches. You know, the national income pie has now stopped expanding. I mean, our weak national income growth is showing up in sharp slowdown in tax revenue, and that's causing a problem as far as the government's concerned, as far as the budget. Now, our challenge as a nation is to step out from the complacency and to acknowledge that the prosperity of the past decade, or even probably a little bit longer, has been built on people just paying us money for things we dig out and produce. And we've got to come up with a more productive economy, because we haven't looked at the productivity side of things. And as I said, you know, it's not something you want to talk about, but the rest of the world has just kept paying us more for each ton of what we produce. So we've been in the fortunate position, and we have to take stock, and we have to realise that we now have to become more productive. And that's where I think our greatest breakthrough will occur, as we realise the party's over and we now need to get serious. And hopefully with the dollar falling below parity and even under 90 cents, and probably the thought is it should settle around 80, 85 cents, that will give the impetus we need to our manufacturers to move away from the philosophy of a mining-driven economy into a more widespread growth economy.
Now, I think everyone has a much clearer picture. So thank you, Chris.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Ken, and I just hope it made sense to everyone.